Today's scripture is taken from Mark 4, 35 to 41. And it reads, "On that day, when leaving had come, he had said to them, Let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, I ask that the words of my mouth reflect your wisdom, that you know the reflections that we hold on our hearts and that they be worthy of your sight, O Lord. For you are our creator, redeemer, and sustainer, now and forever. Amen. So when I was younger, my uncle had a fun time teaching my cousins and I about Murphy's Law. Now you all know what Murphy's Law is, right? Sort of the short version of Murphy's Law is that if anything can go wrong, it will definitely happen. And my uncle would like to teach my cousins and I different forms of Murphy's Law. There's that Murphy's Law of waiting. You know, when you're waiting for someone at their home or waiting for a phone call or waiting for a bus to come by. And then as soon as you stop waiting, you leave the house because you think your friend's never going to stop by. You turn off your phone because you think you're never going to get the call. Or you leave that corner to start walking. As soon as you stop waiting, that bus will come, that friend will come by, that call will come. My uncle also taught us about the Murphy's Law of bath. You can sit at your house for a couple hours and not get anyone knocking on your door, the phone's not ringing, and then as soon as you step in the bath, turn on that water, sure enough, the phone will ring, someone will knock on the door, or someone needs something of you. Or one of my favorites is the law of gravity. When you drop something, it won't just drop right in front of you and stay where it is. No, it has to drop, roll to the most inconvenient place that's hard to get. Murphy's Law of gravity. And then, of course, this one we all know. It's often called the Murphy's Law of the grocery store checkout line. When you go to what you think is the shortest checkout line and doesn't, sure enough, I see Carrie, yeah. Sure enough, it turns to be the longest line. There's a woman in the front of the line that has 20 coupons to use. There's another person in line in front of you that, for some reason, their item isn't scanning. The shortest line, no, Murphy's Law, it's the longest line. This law also applies to lines at Disneyland, lines at the DMV, and also when you're driving and want to get into the shortest driving lane. So Murphy's Law, when something bad can happen, it will happen. I grew up, because of all these things my uncle taught me, wondering, gosh, I'd be afraid to meet someone named Murphy. So in this morning's scripture passage, we kind of like to then think about Murphy's Law happening to the disciples. As he and Jesus have been traveling and starting this wonderful ministry with Jesus, they think, okay, great, we're taking a break, we're going to get into this boat together. Jesus has commanded us to get into the boat and to go to the other side. But Murphy's Law happens. As soon as Jesus falls asleep, soon the disciples discover that the boat they're on in that beautiful lake area, it becomes rocky. Storms start to happen. All these things are happening. It's so bad that the disciples are fearing for their life. And they question Jesus, and they're wondering, is this the time that they will perish? We look at this morning's scripture passage, and we can kind of see three movements in the passage. First, that storms will come. Second, that storms will go. And third, to remember that Jesus always remains. We will travel with the disciples in this morning's passage and see what they learned. Hey, they learned about the importance of their spiritual selves, not just their physical selves. How they learned that storms, yes, come in life, but storms also go. And then throughout this all, we must remember, as disciples learned, that Jesus remains always and forever. Storms will come. The beginning of this morning's passage tells that on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go to the other side." They left the large crowd that had gathered to hear him speak and went on the boat. We also know that there are other boats all around them, so it's common then for people to retreat on their boats, maybe to sleep or to prepare for the next day. And as they are on the boats, we see a great gale arose. Now, we, of course, are from California, so we don't truly understand what a gale is. And I'm trying to think if someone from the mission team was from the Midwest area, so you might more understand tornado gales or, you know, dangers like that. My relatives, I have relatives in the Midwest, and they have basements, and they know when a gale is coming to go to that basement because it is danger. 100 miles per hour winds, things strong enough to knock down buildings, to make waves so great that it is beating against the boat. That is what the disciples are experiencing that day on the boat. And they are already being swamped, it says in the passage. The disciples are here are not just facing a physical storm, but they're facing a spiritual storm. They are not realizing that in their journey with Jesus, they are being transformed. So when Jesus says to them simply, let's go across to the other side and get on the boat, he's not just saying to go across the lake, but he's talking about more than that. He's challenging the disciples to be transformed, to go across to a different side, to be changed in their faith, to look at Jesus differently even. So when Jesus says to the disciples, let's go across to the other side, and they answer yes, they're thinking about physical self, but soon they learn about spiritual self. As they are fearing from their lives, they must remember that all storms can be faced in life. We ourselves in our lives face spiritual, physical, spiritual storms. We think about what's happening in our world today. We know that 2 weeks ago in South Carolina, in Charleston, a young mentally ill man went into a church, and after their evening Bible study, this young man killed people, 9 people, including the pastor. And as our nation mourns together, we think about the storms that we face in life, hearing about the wars that are happening in the world, about suicide bombers giving up their lives to kill other people in the name of their religion. That is not our God. We hear about children in our own streets of Los Angeles, of California, of the States, dying of hunger each day in the streets because their parents can't afford to feed them. We hear about all the storms that this world is facing, and know even our church itself has been facing many storms lately. We hear about loved ones of church members passing away. We know our church is in a financial deficit, as much as $20,000 per quarter. We know today our church will celebrate the farewell, the ministry of Reverend Wong that has been with us, but mourn his leaving with us as well. Our church is facing storms. And what about your own lives personally? Can you honestly say everything is so perfect and sunny and bright? Are there things that have happened in your life, past or present, the storms you are facing? Storms will come, and yes, we will face them. And throughout this, we must do 3 things. You must first keep focus. You must second have no fear. And we must third never, never give up. We must keep focused and not get distracted in times of storm. Now, we know a storm might be like a crisis, and when we face crisis in our lives, what do we do? Now, I'm a type A personality person. I love making lists. I'll go to Staples and buy all the post-it notes and papers and list pads that they have. Oh, it's awesome. So, yes, I'm the type of person that will have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and yes, even a plan D. I love planning things out. But then I think you lose focus if you overplan things. You then tend to focus on things that you think you can control, about items in your surroundings that you want to control and have power over. And we forget then who is truly in control. When we overplan things and when we lose our focus, then we have fear, we have anxiety, there is the unknown. But if we remember that it is Christ who we must focus on, then we will no longer have fear or anxiety, or the unknown. Those things can be replaced. And second, we must have no fear. I love the words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 13. Isaiah reminds us that love the Lord your God. The God holds us in his right hand, and it is God who says, do not fear, for I will help you. What wonderful words that we must remember, that God holds us in his right hand and says, do not fear, for I will help you. Think about fear. What happens to yourself physically, to your body when you have fear? Your heart beats faster. Your palms and yourself might get sweaty. You can't breathe sometimes if you fear so much, and your knees go so weak that you can't even stand. All these physical things, does that sound like a person who is in love with God, who has Christ in their heart? If you say, oh, I can't breathe, and I'm sweating, and my palms are sweaty, and my knees are weak, does that sound like a person who has the love of God inside them? No, it should be the opposite. When you have no fear, you no longer have those physical symptoms. Instead, your heart is still, it is calm, because you have Christ in your heart. You are cool and you are breathing. You have the breath of God, of life inside you, and you can breathe peacefully. And your knees aren't weak, you are standing strong because you are lifted up by Christ to go out and walk and do the work of Christ. That is what it means to not have fear in your life. And when you have no fear, and when you can keep your focus, and you know to never give up. We hear from after the Charleston shootings that people of Emmanuel African Methodist Church have done amazing things still. They are not giving up. Just days after the shooting, the mourning of lost loved ones, they continued to worship together. They still had that Wednesday evening Bible study the following week with more people showing up in support. And the loved ones of the victims who were killed are saying that they offer forgiveness for the shooter. They offer love in their heart. They pray for the person that God will guide them to the right direction. They never gave up their faith. They weathered through the storms, just as we must weather through the storms. So the disciples know that the storms will go, and they're thinking, though, they're looking at Jesus in the boat, and he's actually asleep, believe it or not, through all this. Imagine storms beating your boat, your boat's rocking so much, you're fearing for your life, and they see that Jesus is asleep on a cushion in the stern. And they wake him up, and they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus wakes up, and he rebukes the wind. And he says to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceases, and it is dead calm. Jesus says these three words, "Peace, be still," and the storm goes away. What a wonderful reminder to the disciples that as they are worrying about their physical self, they needed to be reminded of their spiritual self. Of Jesus' words of peace be still, because Jesus is not talking about their physical self or even the storms and the waves and the wind around them, but he's talking about the spiritual self of the disciples, reminding them to be at peace, reminding them to be still. We today can learn from this lesson as well, to know to be peaceful and be still. And when we can do this, then we can put our full trust in the Lord. We must do that and put our full trust in the Lord. You all know the famous poem probably called Footprints, but I wanted to read it to you this morning because it reminds us of putting our full trust in the Lord. The Footprints poem says, "On a night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from my life. In each scene of my life, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. There was one set of footprints belonging to me, and the footprints next to it was the ones for the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that in many times in the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that this one set of footprints happened at the very lowest and the very saddest times in my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. I said, 'Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would always walk with me. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, Lord, when I needed you most in my life, you would leave me.' And the Lord replied, 'My precious child, I love you and would never leave you.' During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." We must remember that, that the storms will go because the Lord will carry us through, but He will carry us through if we have pure faith in Him, if we celebrate Jesus Christ and know the good news. I like to think about us as all promoters of Jesus Christ. You know how there's concert promoters or play promoters, or I'm sure even the mission team might have just done some work to promote the work or raise some funds for your work this summer. Now, can you imagine if we were promoters for Jesus and this is what we did when we would tell people about Jesus? Oh, well, yeah, there's this man named Jesus. He didn't have a lot of friends, maybe just 12 close friends. And he talked a lot. Sometimes he gave two-hour-long sermons. And Jesus was actually arrested, and he was even put on trial. And, yeah, he even got put to death for his crimes. And, yeah, Jesus, not so great. Sometimes I think we talk about Jesus in that way, but we must instead do the opposite as we go through the calmness of the storms, as the storms pass away. We must instead be excited and be joyful about Jesus, to be the greatest promoter there is about Jesus. To stay and said, yes, there was this wonderful man, the Son of God, the Son of Man. His name was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, he didn't just have 12 faithful friends. He had thousands of followers following him. And Jesus Christ, he didn't just get arrested and crucified on the cross. He got tortured. He got persecuted. He died on the cross for us. Jesus is so awesome. He is the gift of God for our sins, our salvation. We must instead go through the storms with this joyful news of Jesus Christ to be great promoters and to prepare to make a commitment. Think about your own lives when you first had a relationship with God. I don't think it just happened randomly one day. Maybe you're walking down the street and God bonked you on the head and you said, oh yeah, I've got this great relationship. I'm going to pray to God every day now. No, it probably happened because you had someone in your life. Whether it was your parents who took you to church, a neighbor who shared the gospel with you, or persons that you met in school that told you about faith. These are people that God put in our lives to guide us, to bring us closer to Him, and will help us through the storms as well. I close now with one of my favorite Bible passages that reminds me of the third part of the sermon, to remind us that Jesus will always remain with us, to be like the disciples who, when they said to Him, why aren't you afraid? He said to them, sorry, why aren't you afraid? Have you no faith? The disciples are then filled with great awe. And they said to one another, who is this that even the winds and the seas obey Him? That's their transformation, their change of spiritual self. They've gone on to the other side and realized how wonderful, how Jesus is their true Messiah and Savior. They are in awe of Him. That more than just following Him, more than just hearing His words, more than just seeing the miracles, but they experienced it themselves and were transformed. And I hope that you all in your relationship with Christ are experiencing something like that as well. To be able to go through the storms, remember Jesus Christ is always there and remains always with you. That you are transformed as the disciples were. So I close with one of my favorite passages then that says Romans 8, verse 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, or anything above, or anything below, anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is ours in union with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This passage from Romans reminds us that nothing, no storms, no winds, no personal fears or anxieties can separate us from the love of God when we have Christ in our hearts. Amen.